We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back once again to No Other Pod. I am Jimmy, as always, with my good buddy Daniel. Dan, what is going on?
What is going on indeed, man? This is No Other Pod because we are like no other pod. That's what it means, right?
Exactly. Perfect. That's exactly what I sure. We'll go with it.
Yeah, dude. What's dude? Happy New Year to you.
You too. Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to all of our listeners. Did you have a good New Year's holiday?
It was fine. I almost made it to 10 p.m.
Ah, there you go.
Feeling good.
A little crazy, are you?
I know.
It's okay. We didn't do anything except sat on our couch and watched. Well, I thought we were gonna watch the ball drop, and then I turn it on, and I'm like, "What is this crap? They're in New Orleans. They're not even in New York, so we didn't even get to see the ball drop. They had this weird like fleur-de-lis thing dropping in New Orleans because I guess they're trying to do this live thing. So I don't know. It was kind of a weird anticlimactic sitting on the couch New Year's for us.
Well, but, hey, that's all right. You know, you're gonna be married one of these days, and that'll be every New Year's.
No, it was fun. I enjoyed it. But hey, big news to start off 2018. No Other Pod is international.
What?
Yeah, we got a tweet. I guess maybe we were international before. I don't know, but we are confirmed international. We got a tweet from Mr. Beej McGillishaw from Canada saying that he just listened and subscribed and is now our first confirmed international subscriber. So thank you, Mr. McGillishaw, our good friend from north of the border, and we're glad to have you. And hopefully you can convince more of your Canadian compadres to listen in.
Oh man, you can't have too many friends, you know. And I love it. That's it's just so cool to see someone reach out, someone different every week. And we kind of got our own little cast of players, you know what I mean? Like people that we interact with online, and they listen to us on the pod, and must be doing something right, man. So we're just a couple idiots who love soccer, and maybe we're fun people. I don't know.
I hope so. I like to think so. But speaking of people who just love soccer and of international, I don't know if you saw this this story going around earlier this week, but so the website 538, they do like world soccer rankings every so often, and they release an updated list every now and then, and so they released a list not too long ago, and you know, they had Sporting KC as number 335 in the world, which...
Ah, so good. You know,
hey, we're above RSL, which is 352.
Oh, that's big time. So,
and we're above Sunderland, which is 344. So there you go. You know, we're doing pretty well.
Rock and roll.
Considering. But right above Sporting KC at number 334... is this little team from Sweden, I believe, called IFK Göteborg, which I am probably butchering that poor team's
right.
name.
There's an umlaut or two in there somewhere, right?
There is.
Absolutely. Gutenberg.
There's an umlaut over the O, and so you're probably right. Gutenberg.
Yeah, Gut. I took diction in college.
But somehow we always wind up butchering international names.
No, we're crushing it. We're doing great.
But the Cauldron got wind of this on the day after Christmas, and they let it be known to IFC Gutenberg that we are now enemies, and we are coming for them. So was born sort of this strange new rivalry. Someone even updated the Sporting KC Wikipedia page, saying that the club has a bitter rivalry with IFK Gutenberg. And it's kind of taken on a life of its own from there, going so far as Mr. Emil Salomonsson. We'll go with that.
Take
Emil Salomonsson, the right back and Swedish international for IFK Gutenberg, kind of got wind of this, and a Swedish newspaper asked him about it. And is a rough translation, but he said, you know, it's always fun to connect contacts with supporters and teams from different parts of the world. You know, what I can say about the U.S. is that it's a nice country to go on vacation, so why not go to a training camp and meet the team from Kansas? Which is just kind of a cool little story, isn't it?
That's kind of neat, and I didn't do a whole lot of research into it. I saw that Cauldron's Twitter was blowing up, and I was like, what the heck is this about? And I saw some Swedish guy responding, right? And I think I chimed in. I was like, I'd love to be this guy's fifth follower. He had four followers at the time, and I didn't know what was happening, but after hearing all the background and everything like that, and it's just fun, it's just all fun and games, I have drummed up the idea that we're probably just gonna sign Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Oh, because of the Swedish connection now?
It's long shot, but that's a hot take, man.
Hey, there you go. We do need a new striker.
We do.
So, you know, I think maybe a summer move once the EPL season ends. You know, not totally out of the question now. Maybe we get Mr. Salomonsson to pull some of his Swedish connections and bring Zlatan along on that little training trip. And, you know, one thing leads to another, and suddenly Zlatan's in Sporting Blue.
That's, well, stranger things have happened. Yeah, not really. It's MLS.
Maybe not. But, yeah, no, I think this is kind of cool. You know, some of the fans from this IFK Gutenberg team started posting on online forums. And, you know, this obviously isn't really going to turn into, you know, a heated rivalry or maybe any rivalry per se of any sorts. But, I'm probably going to pay attention now to IFK Gutenberg. I feel this strange little fan connection to him now just because of this fun little back and forth. And they seem like a fun group of people if they're willing to kind of play ball and even throw out the idea of coming to train here to meet Sporting. So I think it's kind of cool.
That'd be super funny. I mean, if like Sporting did like a free friendly or something like that and had come to the States, that is a long shot, dude. I could never see anything like that happening. But it's been kind of fun banter, so kudos to the Cauldron Twitter page for all of that nonsense.
Yeah, for sure. And so, like I said, this probably is not going to turn into a real rivalry per se. But I don't know. Do you have a most hated rival of Sporting KC, I guess you could say?
Oh, man. Back. I don't know. Why you just kind of sprung that on me. Back when I was, I would drink at the games occasionally, and I would hate every team that Sporting KC was playing, and I would find some player that I just hated so bad. And it was RSL for a little bit, and I just hated Kyle Beckerman. I mean, is that the craziest thing in the world to think about?
No.
Not at all?
No, not at all.
But also, since then, I mean, Houston was a big one too, right?
Yeah. Houston historically has been a rival of Sporting KC. RSL always comes to mind.
Sorry, dude. Rapids. It's the Rapids because I'm blocked by Marlon Hairston on Twitter.
Well, okay. That's a really good reason.
We're rivals. Me and Marlon. We're rivals.
You're mortal enemies, I think, is what that means.
I don't even know what I said to him. I don't even remember what I said on Twitter, but it must have been mean enough to get me blocked.
You probably said, like, Kyle Beckerman has better hair or something.
I think I just I I don't know. I must have put him down in the worst way, dude. I should probably go back and try to find that.
Yeah, man, that's funny. I don't think I've ever been blocked by an athlete.
Well, you're not trying hard enough.
Apparently not. I gotta step my game up.
This is the world of trolls, bro. Get on board.
Yeah. No, okay. So that's a good one. Rapids. That's a solid one.
It's geographically correct.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good. You know, Calderon always sends out a ton of people out there, so that's a good one.
What about you? Are you on the RSL boat?
You know, RSL. Right when I really started following Sporting KC, really intensely after I moved to Kansas City, you know, whatever it was, 4 or 5 years ago, it was right about the time that, you know, Sporting and RSL had their MLS Cup match, and then there were, you know, some words said from Benny Fellhaber about RSL, and there was kind of this constant back and forth, and it just really made me hate RSL. Like every time I see that stupid like cobalt color, I just like get so mad.
You're like Kyle a bull.
Kyle Beckerman's stupid hair, which is now gone.
Well, so now you love him.
No, not quite. But so definitely RSL's up there. I don't know. There's a couple other teams that I think I just don't like. Not even just because they're like they're not really Sporting KC's rivals. Well, okay,
Orlando.
Maybe one of them. They're up there. Portland's one, and I guess you could kind of almost call that. Or it had the potential at a time to be a rival after that whole knockout round shootout double post thing, and then they kind of named a bar in their stadium the double post bar, and they went on to win
Cheeky.
MLS Cup. I've just never really liked Portland fans. Shout out to my brother who's a Portland fan. I think they're kind of obnoxious fans.
Shout out to my brother who I don't like because he's a Portland fan. Gosh dang it.
He's fine in all other aspects of life, I guess. But no, the other team that I really, really don't like because of their fans now is freaking Atlanta. I just, like, calm down, people. Like, they're not even, like, Sporting KC rivals because we're not in the same conference. Like,
nope.
They've played, what, once?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, y'all didn't invent soccer. Y'all didn't even do that well. I mean, sure, you were fine last year, but you lost at home in the knockout round. Let's not act like you won the treble or anything. So.
Nope. I'm going to call them the Atlanta Silverbacks. I will always call them that.
There you go.
That's what they are.
Yeah, I mean, they just...
USL team, right?
I think so, yeah. One of the lower division leagues.
Well, didn't
they
fold?
Move around so much. I think so. Pretty sure. Because Atlanta United's starting a USL team this year.
Right.
But every time I see a tweet from one of their fans, it's like, you know, they think that their front office is, like, running circles around the rest of the league, or they're doing things that no one else in soccer has ever thought of before, and I'm like,
it's just because they came in hot in the inaugural year, you know what I mean? And that's they're pumped up. I get it, but it's like, hey, calm down, join the big boys, all right?
Yeah, I don't blame them. Like, hey, I'd be excited too, and I mean, I guess it's cool. They have an owner who's willing to splash some cash and spend big money, but like, let's save your taunting and your talking for after you actually win a trophy and win a playoff game. Like, you know, I just tone it down a bit. And I think, you know, LAFC looks like they're coming in hot, so they may take the mantle as most annoying fan base this year. We'll see.
That's true.
But I don't know.
Well, what about, you know, the listeners? I mean, you guys out there, ladies and germs, let us know what your rivalries are. Do you agree with us? Do you have another one that you just absolutely hate? Let us know.
Yeah. Who makes you mad? Or if there's a specific player, like, you know, it was Kyle Beckerman for me for a while. And I guess it's Hairston for Dan because they're apparently mortal enemies.
Oh my god, that sucks, dude. I kind of want to meet him and be like, hey, why did you block me?
please unblock me.
No, but seriously though, shoot us a tweet or something, or better yet, go leave a 5-star review and tell us in the comment of the review what your Sporting KC rivalry is.
Yeah, for sure. We actually, you know. We got an email this week from one of our listeners, Eric, and I think he lives up in Michigan, actually.
Yeah, yeah. The Upper Peninsula, right?
Yeah, that's what he said.
I don't know what that means.
but yeah, he shot us an email, kind of just talking about what he thought of our last episode, and I guess he was at both of the Minnesota United games that you and I were both at separately.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, if we ever get back up there to Minnesota, maybe Eric can hop on over and we'll meet up with him for a beer. And
absolutely,
He ended his email saying, as always, hashtag pour one out for Latif. So, well, you know, Latif keeps tweeting at Sporting KC, and I'm like, okay, we either gotta repair this relationship or we gotta sever it, man.
Is that a code? Is he like coding us? He's like, help, please, I'm being held against my will, come get me.
I don't know. I think, you know, he's tweeting at LAFC as well. But weirdly enough, like, you know, LAFC keeps doing all their like cap tilt videos for all their new players.
Oh,
they haven't done one with Latif yet.
They didn't.
I don't know
if they
that's
do.
Cause...
Watch, because if he blinks twice, he's not okay. Blink twice right. If you're not okay, Latif. We're coming.
Yep, we'll save you. I don't know if that's because Latif, I think, is over in Ghana right now, so it takes a little while to get that hat through customs and over to Africa.
Oh my god.
Or if they're still shopping him around. I don't know. I saw someone mention that the other day, and I was like, you know what? You're right. Every other player they've acquired that they're gonna keep, they've had that weird little hat tilt video and haven't done it with Latif yet.
Did
so
they
not...
do that with Saman?
They did, yeah. And then there's
really
And then there was this weird video of Saman and Walker Zimmerman like meeting together and matching LAFC tracksuits.
That's
I
cute.
Just, like, yeah, come on, help people.
Bro, you're onto something, man. That's like some private eye stuff right there. He has not been in a video with the cap tilt, and if you all have seen this, they literally just have the LAFC cap on and their head is down and they lift it up and maybe
it's like
smile,
surprise,
cross
Walker
their arms.
Zimmerman, who tweeted from Walker Zimmerman's account.
Yeah,
who knew?
We already know. I don't know what that is, what you're trying to surprise us with, but Latif has not had that video, and that I think you're onto something.
Yeah, look at that, real actual kind of journalism.
You are quite the gumshoe.
That's right. Yeah, you might as well call me Detective Jimmy.
Oh, so, you probably always found Carmen Sandiego.
Oh, I did. So yeah, let us know who your rival is to bring it back, and we'll keep Latif watch going. Hashtag save Latif.
Hashtag Latif watch.
Latif watch.
Oh my god. Can I kind of want to make a video now to where I just have some hat, and I don't know. I'm going to start doing that. We're going to make fun of that somehow.
Yeah. Every time you make a decision in life, you just have to like make a hat for it, and then you can do your own little hat tilt video.
Oh yeah, so, dude. It's like cue the CSI music or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Too funny. Hey, I noticed something by the way. If we are actually dragging this podcast around, my wife Marissa listens to us on 1.5 times speed, and I'm like, "What the hell, babe?
Wow!
You put us on 1.5?" And she's like, "No, you're still great. You're still funny." And I said, "Don't lie to me. I'm not funny."
She just doesn't want to listen to us, apparently.
I mean, I think she just can't be bothered. I mean, she has so many other podcasts to listen to that she's got to put us on 1.5 speed. So if
she
you guys
enough.
Need to do that, go ahead. But we probably sound just as awesome, I'm sure. But I've yet to do that.
Slightly more chipmunky, maybe, but you never know.
I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that little tidbit of information in there. It's kind of, I didn't even know you could do that with your podcast.
Yeah, you can put them on faster speeds. Apparently, she hears you talk too much throughout the rest of the day. She's like, I don't need to listen to them any more than I already do. So
she's let's get through this.
Speed this up a bit.
Oh my gosh.
Well, yeah. Hey, we're gonna move on here to another story that, you know, we all know that Sporting KC is in desperate need of a new forward, a new goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
They traded for Kyrie Shelton from NYCFC, but no one expects or thinks that he's the permanent answer, or at least the immediate answer. Maybe long term he might be, but right now he's certainly not gonna be the only striker they bring in. But the international transfer market's about to open up. And there is a report that Sporting KC is linked to a Portuguese striker whose name I am going to butcher again, but Marco Paixão, P-A-I-X-A-O. I'm not sure how you would say that in Portuguese. But apparently he and his brother Flavio are rumored to want to come to Major League Soccer. This is according to the Blue Testament. And Sporting KC is linked to Marco, who is the brother. And so I was like, okay, let's look up a little bit of info about Marco. He's 33, so he's a bit older. Transfer Market lists his estimated value, which take that with a grain of salt, but they list it as about 750,000 euros, so $1 million, give or take. But you know, he's been in first division, Polish first division, and over the last couple of years, he's scored 27 goals, so that's respectable. I don't know, like, what do you think about Sporting KC looking at potentially bringing in a 33-year-old striker instead of someone younger?
Well, that is interesting, to say the least. I don't know. I mean, we were such a young team last year. I think we talked about this earlier. It's a win now kind of attitude. It's a, let's get a guy in there who can score some goals. Maybe he's a one and done. Maybe he stays for 2 years. But let's make a run for the MLS Cup. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And if for some of the more savvy MLS fans out there, they may know that the Chicago Fire's striker Nemanja Nikolic actually came from the Polish first division, and that worked out pretty well for the Fire last year, if I do say so, with him winning the Golden Boot. But yeah, I think like you said, that's kind of the case. It makes me think that if Sporting KC are going for someone this old, then they're really pushing for MLS Cup this season. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand with some of the contract situations and some of the other players that have kind of made up that Sporting KC core over the last number of years. You know, Beisler, Benny Failhaber, Graham Zusi, Seth Sinovic, Roger Espinoza. They're all around that 31, 32, 33-year-old age, and a lot of their contracts come up after this year. So it may be kind of that, you know, win this year or blow it up mentality. So I don't know. I mean, hey, if you can bring in an experienced striker who can come in and score 15 to 20 goals, even if he has 33, I'm all for it. So
I'm down.
His FIFA 18 ranking, for all of you wondering, because that's honestly how I will judge whether I'm happy with the transfer or not, if I don't know anything about the player. He's an overall 72, which is 4 points better than our current best striker, which is Diego Rubio at 68. So
interesting.
FIFA says he's an upgrade.
I believe it.
Nemanja Nikolic was a 75 when he came over, so there you go. FIFA has spoken, and FIFA says it would be an upgrade. Looking forward into 2018, obviously a new striker is on everyone's wish list, and everyone kind of expects that, you know, whether it's Marco or someone else, we'll get one. Is there something in particular in 2018 that you're looking forward to most about Sporting KC or MLS in general?
Yeah, man, I want to see us get back to like winning games by multiple goals. I don't want to tie as many times as we tied this year. I don't want to see any of that. You know, I want to score goals again. I want to see those, you know, 6-2 thumpings of FC Dallas in the U.S. Open Cup. I want to see a 4-3 comeback late in the game against Vancouver Whitecaps. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I couldn't agree more. After having 4 straight years of being knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, it's just like you kind of feel like this is in some ways like a make or break year. And I don't even really know what that means per se, but like something's got to change. And I feel like Sporting KC fans are just going to be so disappointed if we get to the playoffs and have another first round loss. Like I almost figure that they got to make it to the Western Conference Finals at least to kind of like make Sporting KC fans feel like, okay, we're kind of back on track. Cause I mean, getting to the second round, sure, that would be great, but, I don't know. This team seems like it should be better than that. Especially if they do bring in 2, if not 3 designated players, which is kind of what I'm most, I guess you could say most looking forward to, but definitely most interested in is to see how the ownership group really adapts to the changing MLS landscape as far as what teams are willing to spend to bring in top quality talent from around the world. With the influx of almost 3 million more allocation dollars the league's giving, plus the rumors that Sporting KC are willing to splash some cash of their own, I'm excited to see sort of the next evolution of Sporting KC, if you will, and what Peter Vermees can do when he's given just a bit more resources to actually compete with some of these teams that are willing to spend money, like Atlanta or LAFC or New York or Orlando. So it'll definitely be an interesting year. And like we said, it kind of might be the last year of that core group of guys. So it'll be something to keep an eye on and to kind of appreciate as the year goes on, because you never know what will happen. We might not see these guys back in Sporting Blue next year.
Oh, yeah, man. It's a big-time year. I mean, I think it's got to be, like you said, like we both said, it's a win-now mentality, because this isn't going to be the same team after this year.
No. So, but speaking of new faces, we did get a couple of questions on Twitter when we put out a call for questions.
Yeah.
Small Birdie, that's the Twitter name. I guess one of our listeners from Kansas City asked us a question. Is Johan Croizet a real solution to our scoring problems? I heard he was just a future replacement for Benny. If that's true, does that mean Benny is getting closer to retirement? I noticed he had played less frequently last season. We've talked about this a bit before. What do you think? Do you think Croizet is the solution to our scoring problems?
No, I don't. I think he'll be a good piece of the puzzle. But I don't think he's the solution. I think we are going to get one or two more guys that are really going to help bring this together.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Croizet is reported as a central attacking midfielder, a number 10, as they're called, which is the same position that Benny plays. I do think that Croizet is kind of expected to be the replacement for Benny, like the Small Birdie said. Johan's only 25 years old, so he's a lot younger than Benny. But he's never been a goal scorer in his career. Looking at his career stats, I mean, he scored 3 goals in 43 appearances for KV Mechelen, who is his current team. You know, he's not a goal scorer. But he is supposed to be like a creative attacking midfielder in that he'll create chances for other players. To answer the part about Benny and is he getting older and closer to retirement, I don't know if he's getting closer to retirement per se, but he only does have one more year on his Sporting KC contract, and for the amount of money he's making, I wouldn't be surprised if Sporting does say, thank you for all your years of service to us. We need to go in a cheaper, younger direction after this year. I don't know.
Agree. Yeah, no, you're right. It's Benny's on his way out as well, and people will cry. I'll never forget my friend Vanessa freaking bawled her eyes out when Benny got a red card one game. Just started crying, and cried after the game, and like he's gonna miss the next game, and I'm like, calm down.
Yeah.
But it's people like her will absolutely lose their minds when he leaves. But every good player leaves, whether they retire or get sold, and it's just the way it is, man. And it's hard to accept sometimes.
Yeah, especially in soccer. I think Sporting KC has been really fortunate to have a core group of guys who have been here for the amount of years they have. I mean,
sure,
it is not unusual in soccer to have players be with the team for 1, 2, maybe 3 at most years. But, you know, 2018 is going to be Benny's 6th year with Sporting KC. And Graham Zusi, Matt Beisler, Roger Espinoza, Sestinovic, these guys have been here most of the time, if not all the time, that Benny's been there. And there's been, you know, a huge amount of success during that time with the Open Cups and MLS Cup. But having said that, like you said, there does come a time where everyone has to move on. Benny did play his least amount of minutes last year since 2013. He only scored 5 goals and 3 assists. I think it's really good that Johan and Benny will have a year together, because it'll kind of provide a buffer for Johan to kind of learn the league. But yeah, I think this might be Benny's last year, as sad as it is. But no, I don't think Johan is the scoring guy. I think he'll be more of a chance creator. And I think that whether it's that Marco Paixão or someone else, there's another true attacking threat to be brought in.
No, absolutely. You're right.
One other question from Grant Irvine came in on Twitter. I said, is Espinoza anything more than an average midfielder? Maybe a super sub of Benny Failhaber. I think he's asking, should Espinoza be a super sub of Benny Failhaber? Either that, or he's asking, should Benny Failhaber be a super sub? Either way, we can touch on both real quick.
That second one sounds more likely, but yeah.
Yeah, I think so too, because Espinoza and Benny don't really, they both play midfield, but they don't really play the same position in the midfield.
Yeah, so he's probably asking, is Benny Failhaber more of a super sub this year with Johan being in there?
Yeah, and so real quick on that, I think it's probably very likely that by the end of the season, the second half of the season, Benny probably will be a super sub. You sign Johan to DP money. And it's reported that they paid, you know, like $1.2 million in a transfer fee, and he's going to be a designated player. You don't spend over $1 million and you don't pay someone designated player money to not start. That's not to say that he'll start from day one, because as he takes time to learn MLS, it might take a little bit. But I absolutely think that he was signed with the intention of getting him in the starting lineup. And hey, maybe there's some days where he and Benny play side by side in kind of a dual attacking midfield setup, or Benny can drop back sometimes and play a little bit more defensively. But I mean, I think you'd agree that Benny probably will be a super sub more than likely by the end of the year.
Sad to think, but I don't know, man. Who's to say? We're just speculating here. He might come out guns blazing, and
that's true.
And you don't want to take him off the field because he's just so hot. You know,
that's true. And hey, Mad Benny sometimes is the best Benny.
That's true, man. And that brings me to Roger as well. Like, Mad Roger is the best kind of Roger. I love him, dude. I think he's more than an average midfielder. I could see why someone would think differently. But I think we're a better team when he's on the field. He's able to track back so well. He's still got his legs underneath him. He's not dead yet. And some of his passes and interceptions and defense is phenomenal. So I don't know. I don't know what else I can say about Roger. I know every shot he takes is like going to go over the net, but at least he's taking those shots.
Yeah, I think Roger, he's a hard player for someone who, unless you like really know like the intricacies of like soccer strategy, it's hard to see his value like on the stat sheet. Because he's not ever going to be a real goal scorer. He's never scored more than one goal in a season for Sporting KC or the Wizards when he was here, when they were the Wizards. He's never had more than five assists in a season, and that was in 2016. This last year, he had one goal and three assists in 2,700 minutes, just about. But like you said, he's kind of like the engine that keeps the team running in the middle of the field. He's such a great captain, and yes, there are times when he can get mad and he might throw a punch at Brad Davis and get himself a suspension. But there's also so many times where he kind of is that calming presence where he's literally going around and like telling people, hey, relax, or you go here. I know that Jimmy Madronda has said that like Roger Espinoza is sort of his mentor.
Oh, like a big brother, dude. If Jimmy Madronda was in trouble, Roger's coming in and getting a red card. Like, he's hitting somebody.
Right, for sure. And I think that the rest of the team knows that Roger has their back, and he wears that captain's armband, and he can get in there, and he's a respected player, so refs will listen
Beasler.
To him.
Beasler wears captain armband. What are you talking about?
They go back and forth.
Beasler's gone. I gotcha.
Well, there was a time when Beasler was gone and Roger wore the armband, and then Beasler came back, but Roger,
right,
he was doing so well under Roger with the armband that they just kind of kept writing Roger as the captain.
Well, Beasler wasn't himself. He didn't even get in the game.
Yeah, no, that's
right. I remember that.
So I think it's really good to have someone like that. Now, one could make the argument that he probably does get paid more than maybe he should, especially for the position he plays on the field, because he is our most expensive player, at least, right, or was last year. I don't know what Johan or any of the new guys will make.
Well, so you buy him down. You buy him down with the TAM.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, you buy him down so he's not a designated player anymore. But I don't think he's merely an average player. I think he can have average games, as anyone really can. But I still think he brings value to the team. Whoscored.com, a soccer website, says that his passing accuracy is 84%, which is pretty high.
Dude, you know, like, the best websites. You're like, soccer gurus. /org, and I'm like, well, how do you know this stuff?
this is what I do. I just, when I'm bored, I'm like, let's go look up soccer stats for players that I like.
Well, Jimmy was fired because he was on the soccer internet all day.
No, I get my work done. And I follow a lot of really smart people on Twitter.
Right.
Who I just steal their websites.
I just fight on Twitter. I don't know how to do Twitter very well. I get angry.
You fight and get blocked by Marlon.
I do.
So yeah, I certainly think he's better than an average player. He's getting a little bit up there in age. He's probably not going to be able to be the 2,700 minute a year enforcer that he has been for very much longer. But he certainly brings value to Sporting KC. And I think that when Roger is on the field, Sporting KC is a better team. So that's how there I'll. I'll leave that.
Yes, sir.
We'll switch to another kind of look forward to the season. Last year, we know, was the first year that video review was used in MLS, and it was only used for like the last half of the season, really, after the All-Star break. What did you think of video review in its first half year, I guess?
Oh, I dig it, dude. I mean, I'll see needs for it around other leagues in Europe, and I'm like, oh my gosh, get VAR, man. That would help. And while it's not perfect, it's a start. It's a help, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's an important thing to have in MLS. I think what's so frustrating about it for fans is and this is on the league, and pro to a certain extent, but I think maybe more so the league than even pro. I don't think they did a very good job of communicating what should or shouldn't be reviewed and how it should be reviewed, and then what can happen once something is reviewed. Because there was so much confusion about, like, can that play be reviewed? Should it be reviewed? Is it clear enough to be reviewed? And some of that's on pro, because I think they were inconsistent from ref to ref on what should and shouldn't be reviewed. But I don't think MLS did a very good job of communicating that to fans. And I think that fans are sort of owed an explanation. I don't know how you do this, but, like, you know how if you're watching the NFL and there's a challenge, when they come back out and they give a decision, like, most of the time they're like, you know, the ruling on the field was overturned, the pass was incomplete because the player was juggling the ball as he was going out of bounds and he didn't get 2 feet in bounds. Like, you kind of understand the decision that was made.
Yeah.
Like, most of the time with video review and MLS, like, they go to, like, the secret hood and they watch something for, like, 3 minutes and they come back out and they're like, okay, let's go. And you're like, what happened? Like,
yeah, tell us what
what's
happened.
Going on? They'll tell us if, like, a call was changed, I guess. They'll point to the spot, and then you're like, oh, I guess they awarded a penalty. But,
man,
I don't know.
They mess up sometimes. Like, I hate that a referee has to – like, he gets to choose if he goes to VAR. I really wish that coaches had challenge flags. And
yeah.
They could be like, you know what? He scored – that goal he just scored right now, he was about a foot offsides. Go take a look at it.
Yeah, so that's a good point.
MLS
so,
Cup, yo.
So, technically, for video review, it says only 4 match-changing decisions can trigger a video review. And those are goals, penalties, straight red cards, and cases of mistaken identity. So, any play that involves those is one that can start a video review. And the video assistant referee will be watching on a screen somewhere, and if he sees something in one of those four instances, he'll buzz down to the main referee. But then you're right. It's up to the main referee if he wants to actually stop play to go review the call he made. So
right. I think the video guy should be like, no, you need to stop the play. Like, I think he should override the main referee.
Yeah, and that's how it works in like, the NFL or college Absolutely. Football. Is, like, the refs up in the booth are like, hey, no. Like, wait, we think you got this wrong. Like, let's take a look. And I understand that they don't want to interrupt the flow of the game too much, and that's sometimes a complaint about, like, college football or NFL, is sometimes there's just so many reviews. But I think that's just where the discretion of the video assistant review comes in. Is like, okay, is this really clear enough to review? And they've said, you know, they don't review, was the decision right? They go to ask the question, was the decision clearly wrong? And if they are confident enough that the decision was clearly wrong, I agree. I think it's kind of weird that you leave it up to then the referee who made the clearly wrong decision. It's like, hey, do you want to review that call that you got wrong, but you obviously think is right because you called it? Like, it just, I don't know. Seems kind of weird to me.
It is. It is weird. And maybe they'll improve on it in the future, but, you know, it's still new, so they're going to keep doing what they're doing and making sure it works.
Yeah, the other thing that I learned that I did not know, but someone in the league actually told this to me, and I was like, I don't actually think that's right. I don't believe you, even though you're in the league. But it is right. I always thought that, like, you can't award yellow cards from video review, but that's not actually correct.
Right.
You can... So those four instances, goals, penalties, straight red cards, or cases of mistaken identity, those are the match-changing plays, but those are only, quote-unquote, the entry point for review. So mm-hmm. once you start reviewing, and they review, like, the whole attacking sequence, or the whole sequence leading up to whatever's under review, the ref can adjust any call made during that sequence, whatever he wants. So, like, no, they can't stop play because the video assistant referee is like, hey, I think that might have been a yellow card. But if the ref, video assistant referee says, hey, I think that goal, he might have actually been offside, if they stop play for that, and while they're reviewing the offside call, the ref sees, oh, I should have given a yellow card to that guy, he can, which I didn't know.
Yeah, so, man, absolutely. It's like, well, I got to check on this goal. Hold up, what's going on over there? Why'd that dude punch him in the back of the head?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's things like that that the league just hopefully can be a little bit better about communicating and figure out a way to, one, be a bit more efficient and consistent, like the Bundesliga. They're all over VAR, and a little bit better of explaining why decisions are being made. So
big time.
I think, as far as I know, Sporting KC, I could only find or recollect one instance where video review actually came into play, and it was against... the Whitecaps at the end of September, and they were actually awarded a penalty. It was the eighth minute of the match, and
right.
Baldomero Toledo awarded Sporting KC a free kick because of a foul committed by Kendall Waston, but they went to video review, and they actually determined that the foul was committed inside the box, and so that was changed from a free kick to a penalty. So
yep.
That's the only time I could think that it actually really had an effect. But now, there were plenty of times where myself and probably a bunch of people in the cauldron and all over Sporting KC Nation were like, that should be reviewed. But that's the only time I could think that it actually affected Sporting KC. So,
right. You're right. Absolutely.
We'll hope that VAR keeps getting better as we get into 2018, but I think we're both in agreement. It's an overall a good change. They're working out some kinks. So,
yes, sir.
Lastly, we're kind of winding down here.
Winding down. Look at that. Might be an early podcast, people.
Only 45 minutes instead of an hour that we have been going. But there was a kind of a blockbuster trade today. I don't think it's officially been confirmed by the two teams involved, but MLS is reporting on it, and Jeff Reuter from ESPN reported on it. Jeff Carlisle from ESPN reported on it, and Jeff Reuter, who's another soccer writer, he reported on it as well. The New York Red Bulls traded their captain, Sasha Kljestan, to Orlando City for attacker Carlos Rivas and defender Tommy Redding. But what's crazy to me is the Red Bulls also sent $150,000 in targeted allocation money along with Sasha to Orlando, which, I mean, Sasha was, I think, their best player. This seems kind of, I know he's older, and Rivas and Redding are both younger, but kind of feels like the Red Bulls are almost, like, giving up.
Dude, I don't even, like, I can't even speculate on them. Like, I'm just, it blew my mind when I saw it. I didn't see the rumors happening. I didn't know that. Well, I knew they were kind of shopping him around, and I was like, okay, that's crazy. I mean, everything has a price, though, so sure, shop him around. I didn't think it would actually happen. That they've sold their captain for the second year in a row. Are you kidding me?
Yep. Yeah, and you gotta, if you're like Bradley Wright Phillips, you gotta be sitting there being like, what the heck, man? Like, am I next? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, all my friends are leaving, dude. What the hell?
Right. You know, I saw some people react to this this trade. Like, they're like, hey, you know, I think this is a good deal for New York. They get Rivas and Redding and $150,000 in allocation money. But then people are like, no. Like, the reports are that New York is sending Sasha and $150,000 to Orlando. And it's just like, what the heck is going on? I don't even understand. I don't know, man.
I think long story short, just I think Orlando wins that deal. And I don't know. I'll be excited to watch them. I mean, seeing Sasha give some service to Dom, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, he's, I think, a good replacement for Kaká, who's obviously not there.
Right.
Anymore, and Sasha's not going to be the $8 million, $9 million cap hit, whatever that Kaká was. So now you got Kyle Larin, at least for now, if he's still on the Orlando come the start of the season. You got Dom, you got Sasha, you got $150,000 more in allocation money to spend. I don't know. Orlando, they're making moves, and they need to because they were disappointing last year. So they've yet to make the playoffs in the 3 or 4 years that they've been in MLS, so it seems like it's kind of a now or never mentality for Orlando, and so I like it for their part. I don't know what the Red Bulls are doing, so
we'll see, man. It's so interesting. I mean, they made the playoffs, so, and then they just get rid of one of their best players, so it'll be, I don't know. They're probably, a lot of their fans are probably feeling like we felt when Dom left, you know, a little confused, a little sad, a little scared.
Oh yeah, for sure. I do think that, you know, maybe Sasha will be a bit happier once it comes winter time to be in Orlando, Florida than New York, where it was like 2 degrees today. So
there you go. That probably sounds a little better.
Good for him. But yeah, big blockbuster trade. I'm sure there'll be more trades. Doesn't affect Sporting KC too much in the immediate future because those are obviously two Eastern Conference teams. So as long as Sporting KC stays in the West, which I think they will for the foreseeable future, even though they've kind of been the ping pong ball that bounces back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, it probably won't affect them too much unless they meet up with one of these two teams in what would be MLS Cup. So we'll see. Probably not the Red Bulls anymore, but who knows? Maybe Orlando City.
Right, right.
Well, that is all I have for today.
Dude, that's it, man. No, that's,
you got anything?
That's it. That feels good for our new, for our first pod of 2018 in the book.
Yes, sir.
Man. Another year, another episode, and gosh dang, you got things coming up, some notable dates. excuse me, you got the freaking Super Draft this month. You know, you're going to have
the player
combine. They're going to be scrimmaging. That's always kind of fun to stream on your phone or something. But then you're going right into people's preseason tournaments. And then, sweet Lord, we open the season in like 60 days.
It's crazy. And we should be getting a full MLS schedule announced in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think it always happens in like the first or second week of January, so...
And we'll have a new jersey reveal at some point. Sporting KC usually puts that off till much closer to the start of the year. We've already seen a couple of teams already release new jerseys with New England and the Red Bulls. I was kind of underwhelmed by both of them.
Right.
I don't know if you saw them.
Sporting's going to win. Those jerseys were terrible.
Yeah. So definitely big things to look forward to in the coming months. I mean, preseason's going to be here before we know it. So exciting times ahead. Lots of good things coming up in 2018 for the pod. We're going to be looking at doing some fun, exciting things. I know Dan mentioned a couple last time, but you guys let us know if there's anything in particular you want to hear, any topics you want us to cover. Just let us know. Shoot us an email, nootherpod@gmail.com. Tweet us at nootherpod. Like us on Facebook, nootherpod. You can tweet me at jcmag03. Tweet Dan at dancouser. And like Dan said, leave us a rating and leave us a review. And we'll
let us know
we'll
that rivalry, forward. Right?
That's right. Yeah, good call. Tell us your most hated rival or who your most hated player is, or if you got a story like Dan and he got blocked by someone. You know, we'd love to hear it.
He's my nemesis. I'm coming for you, Marlon.
Yeah, I'm sure he's listening. So
he's faster than me.
Just a little bit, but you know, if you got in there with a good tackle, I think you could get him.
That's true. Just one. I just need to take him down, and then I'll just lay on him.
There you go. Well, there it is, man. First pod 2018 in the books.
Cool. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. For Dan, I'm Jimmy. We'll see you later.
Peace out.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.